This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Well, you can't buy a Tesla vehicle in Texas, but that doesn't mean the electric car manufacturer can't build a massive battery factory here. And that's what San Antonio leaders are hoping will happen. They say the city has a great shot at landing a deal with Tesla Motors to build its $5 to $6 billion gigafactory right here, bringing in about 6,000 jobs and changing the economic trajectory for the city. So does San Antonio really have a chance? We want to hear your thoughts and concerns about bringing a deal, cracking a deal to bring Tesla to San Antonio. Is this just a fantasy or do you believe? Give us a call at 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And joining us to tell us more about these prospects is San Antonio Express News business editor and columnist Greg Jefferson. Greg, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Tell me about this meeting, the secret meeting that the worst secret in town, if everyone knows about.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about in late March, it was a meeting between two Tesla executives who were pretty deeply involved in the site selection process, still are, of course, and with Mayor Castro, County Judge Nelson Wolf, and Doyle Beneby, who's the CEO of CPS Energy. There were a couple of other economic development types involved, but those were the main players. And it was that meeting. I mean, we got wind of it. We wrote a story about it for the next day's paper. And that was really kind of the event that signaled that San Antonio had gone from kind of an afterthought in the site selection to being, you know, a pretty strong contender. The city had submitted its proposal to Tesla just the previous Friday. So within 5 days, Tesla's meeting with city and county officials to talk over the bid. That's a pretty good indicator that San Antonio's doing pretty well in that competition, I think.
And what do you think that San Antonio was able to bring to the table in that meeting that, say, a Tucson or other cities who are being considered for this aren't able to?
I think it all comes down to CPS Energy because, I mean, if you consider that what Texas often, in terms of incentives that state and local officials can offer companies, we're often outbid. What Texas offers is, low taxation, kind of not a lot of regulations. Here, the difference is CPS Energy. It's city owned. It's more attuned to green energy, projects, and it's kind of more in line with Tesla's thinking. I mean, after all, they want the Gigafactory, what the project we're talking about, to be mostly powered by solar and wind. We've got that in abundance here, and with CPS, I mean, by 2020, they've set a goal of having at least 20% of their power sources be renewable. I mean, that's you're mainly talking, wind and solar.
So let's talk about this factory that's being considered. How big is this factory?
Oh, it's huge. It's they're talking about 10 million square feet on as many as 1,000 acres. It's basically you're looking at a $5 billion investment, and it's likely to go up from there. And just for some perspective, I mean, if you're familiar with Toyota's plant on the south side, they have spent just a little over $2 billion in the past decade on that facility. So, this is just from a capital investment standpoint, bigger than that. And you're talking about more jobs as well.
It's basically 6,000 jobs.
6,500.
And then over at Toyota, they have employed about 2,800 people.
Yeah, but then when you factor in suppliers, it gets to about because they've got over 20 suppliers on the site, so it gets to about 5,000.
So, where would you put that huge factory? I mean, they had to have a proposal with the proposed site.
Oh, they do. When those two executives were in town, to meet with the mayor and the county judge. They also went out and looked at a couple of sites. But, I mean, if you look at a map, it's got to be on the south side. You know, that's where the most available land is. And that's where it makes sense. I mean, you know, where on the north side are you going to put a factory of that scale? I mean, you know, the Gigafactory, and, you know, it's difficult to put this in perspective, but, I mean, the Gigafactory, if it's built on time, it'll start production in 2017, wherever it's built. By 2020, the goal is to produce 500,000 lithium-ion batteries per year. That is, that one factory would be producing more, you know, more lithium batteries than have been than were built in 2013 from all sources. You know,
right.
Every manufacturer.
This is a transformational factory. Happens, not just for San Antonio, but for the entire industry. They're talking about making 500,000 of these batteries a year. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't just be for Tesla vehicles, I imagine. I think they're probably thinking of outsourcing them to other electric cars. He's probably thinking that there's going to be an electric car revolution on the roads of the U.S.
And then, you know, if you
Maybe even globally.
And, you know, also, and this doesn't get talked about much, but, you know, they started, Tesla started selling its Model S in 2012. So by the time, you know, the factory is running at full capacity, if all goes as planned, in 2020, you're going to have a lot of old Teslas that are going to need, you know, new systems, new battery systems. They become less efficient over time. And it might make sense in a lot of those cases to just replace them.
Yeah, but that brings up an interesting point because when these batteries and the lithium involved and other cobalt and other heavy metals that are used, rare earth items that are – some of these are – you have to do a lot of recycling. It's not clean technology per se.
Right.
So there's a downside.
There is, but they do part of the Gigafactory, I mean, as it's as Tesla has laid it out, and there hasn't been a lot of detail, but you know, they've posted a PowerPoint on their website, and it shows that part of the facility will be dedicated to recycling. So, I mean, it will actually, you know, those once those units are spent, you know, there's a place for them to go. They'll be recycled, and a lot of the materials that don't get used or are kind of left over from product, you know, that'll go get recycled somewhere in the facility.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation. We are talking about Tesla Motors and the chatter in San Antonio about whether or not we are a strong candidate to become the new home or the home of their Gigafactory, a $5 billion, maybe $6 billion facility that would bring in about 6,000 jobs to the city, transformational for our economy. What do we have to offer? Who's our competition? Do you think San Antonio has the right capacity, the right resources, the right workforce? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Could San Antonio be the home of the Gigafactory from Tesla Motors, bringing in about $5 to $6 billion and to build the thing, and then also 6,000 jobs? With me to talk about that is Greg Jefferson. He's the San Antonio Express News business editor and columnist. He's written about this extensively. So, Greg, who's our competition?
Primarily, it's Well, I mean, Texas is in the running with Nevada, New Mexico, and Arizona. But, you know, from reporting I've done and from media coverage in those other states, it really seems like it's between San Antonio, Reno, and an area of north of Phoenix, somewhere between Phoenix and – I'm sorry, north of Tucson. So between Tucson and Phoenix and that whole wasteland in there. And from what I've gathered, I mean, it seems like the consensus is that the Reno site really has front runner status at this point.
The Reno site does.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a former military base available. I mean, you're talking about up to 3,000 acres. It's about 3 miles, a three-hour drive from Reno to Fremont, California, where Tesla's got its manufacturing plant, and you've got rail connection. So it's both connected by highway and rail. On top of that, I mean, you know, one of the major components to these batteries is lithium, of course. And Nevada is home to the only lithium mine in the country. So all of that combined, you'd have to grant them, I think, front runner status. The problem with Reno is the scarcity of workers. You know, it's not as densely populated as San Antonio.
So Reno has a strong hand, but not necessarily a winning hand.
Right.
What about water? How important is water in the building of these batteries?
It's a difficult question to answer. I mean, with any manufacturing process, it's important. I mean, but you have to keep in mind that, Reno's water problem is as severe as Texas's, and you could say the same of Tucson. But, I mean, that said, I mean, SAWS has got to be part of, you know, the conversation. I mean, they've got to be, they've got to have a hand in these negotiations.
Which is also a publicly owned utility.
Right, yeah, sure.
So that would be just as feasible as CPS Energy getting involved.
Right.
So you mentioned, so Reno and Tucson, do they have renewables at their ready?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with Reno, so, you know, the big deal there is solar, of course, and it's a weak point, I think, for Tucson. I think San Antonio and Reno are much better positioned than Tucson.
Now, I've read elsewhere around other media, other people who are covering this, because this is a story that national media has been covering, mm-hmm. that Julian Castro has made quite an impression on Tesla and that he may make a difference. Just his personality and his commitment to, renewable energy.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. And, you know, in my own reporting, I've found that he's really working this project hard. I mean, he's devoted a lot of his time and a lot of staff time to trying to win this project. And, you know, part of his success in doing that has to do with, you know, like you say, with his personality, but also his connections. I mean, he's a National Democrat. I think he's been able to, open some doors that may not have been open to former, previous San Antonio mayors like Ned Garza or, any of the others. He's also got, he's familiar with Palo Alto. I mean, did his undergraduate degree at Stanford. I don't know for a fact, but I mean, he's got connections. He's got friends in Silicon Valley. Whether he's tapped those friends in this effort, I don't know. But I think he certainly called in some political chits.
And what about the fact that he is seen as an up-and-coming political star? He certainly is seen as someone who could be attractive in the future presidential administrations for a key post. You know, I think that Elon Musk is definitely looking for people who could help him navigate Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, this is such a big investment. I don't know it could be one factor in San Antonio's favor. I mean, for him to take that kind of forward-looking approach. But, I mean, I got to think it's certainly not the decisive one. I mean, when you're talking about an investment of this size, it's got to come down to more than
what
a politician can do to you, for you, not to you, but for you years down the road. So.
Sure. So, but it's really hard to get past the fact, and this is what one of our listeners emailed us, Wes emailed, that why would Tesla come to Texas if you can't sell their vehicles in Texas? So that's a roadblock.
Right. It is. It is. I'm coming to believe, though, that it's not insurmountable. I mean, I think it's clear at this point that there's not going to be a special session between now and the end of the year to try to change the law. There's just no political will among lawmakers to repeal the state's franchise law, which is what is preventing Tesla from selling cars directly to consumers. But you also have to keep in mind that Texas is not a state that Tesla can ignore. It's the second largest auto market in the country behind California. And whereas the numbers of Model S's they're selling are minuscule now, you know, just being in the running, you know, being with Texas, being in the mix, it's bringing more brand awareness to the state. And if they actually selected Texas for the Gigafactory, you know, you've got something you can take to the legislature in the future. That being, you know, hey, I'm a major employer in this state. Apart from, you know, the Gigafactory, we might have something going on in Brownsville with my SpaceX, because also Tesla's CEO, Elon Musk, is also CEO of SpaceX, which more than likely will be building a facility in Brownsville.
Sure, that looks all but certain. They've done everything except make the announcement. I've been reading about a lot of property purchasing going on in the Brownsville and Cameron County around the Boca Chica Beach area. Mm-hmm. Also, the EPA just released a very favorable study saying that it would not be disruptive to the wildlife in the area. I think it just came down like a week ago. So there's a lot of positive news in that area.
Certainly.
But – you know, with Rick Perry, he said something recently that was very favorable, saying calling the franchise situation with selling vehicles antiquated and made it seem like he was going to work in their favor. But Rick Perry's – he's a lame duck. We don't know who – well, you know, we don't know who the governor is who's going to be of Texas or the next lieutenant governor.
Well,
and Joe Strauss will probably be the next speaker, but still it's still pretty up in the air what kind of government Texas is going to have and how favorable they would be towards allowing electric vehicle sales like Tesla sales happening without the franchise system.
Right. Well, I mean, there are a couple of factors that make you think that change, you know, any kind of reform of these laws is going to happen anytime soon. And first, Rick Perry was also supportive of changing the franchise law back in the 2013 session when he wasn't a lame duck. You know, he still had his full power.
And that didn't
governor.
Go anywhere.
It didn't go anywhere.
It was a non-starter.
I mean, it just died. I mean, it didn't even make it out of committee. So then, you go into the next administration, whoever that is, and, Wendy Davis has already told the Texas Tribune that whereas she would welcome the Tesla investment, she doesn't see any reason to, you know, tinker with the state's franchise law. We don't know where Greg Abbott stands. I mean, he's never, you know, at least with the Texas Tribune, he hasn't responded to their question when they put it to him. So we don't know, but it's...
But still, I mean, it comes down to the legislature, and the Texas Automobile Dealers Association is one of the most powerful lobbies in Texas. And when it comes to some more of the more rural counties, frequently your car dealerships are your biggest sales tax generators in that region and will contribute heavily to local politicians. You're going to have a hard time navigating that, and you're going to have to figure out a way to split the baby and figure out a compromise if the political will is there.
Right, yeah. And, you know, I mean, Tesla is called – and, you know, the buzzword alert. Here it's coming. It's a disruptive company, you know. And you know, that what that means is it's a challenge to these kind of old models, these old business models like auto dealer franchises. And it's disrupting that. And what's really fueling it is, you know – Tesla has a direct sales force, but it's kind of an internet sensibility. It's really changing the way we approach product buying.
You know? It's something you would expect from the guy who invented PayPal to try to sell his cars through the internet.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's just a challenge to the old way of doing things, just like Lyft and Uber is a challenge to, you know, the livery, you know, the taxi industry.
So let's get back to San Antonio's chances on getting this Gigafactory and the Gigafactory being able to pump so much into our local economy. And it certainly would seem like something worth pursuing. And you talked about Reno's chances being probably a little bit stronger than San Antonio, but there's still some people who give San Antonio an edge because of – so, I mean, and the accelerated timeline.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this possible Southside location. I mean, I think Southside looks great. Probably looks better than any piece of dirt that they could come up with in Reno.
Right. Well, and, you know, the city's advantage – I mean, if the question is what what's the edge? What other edge does CPS Energy bring? You have to keep in mind that the Gigafactory will produce more than just car batteries. I mean, it's also supposed to produce power storage units for homes, for businesses, and for utilities. And these are, say, you've got solar panels on your home at home, and you can store some of the power in these units and just go off the grid. You know, at some point during the day, you can just kind of unplug and use the electricity garnered from your solar panels that's being stored in the batteries. And, you know, you can just kind of check out of our power grid for a while, and then you can check back in. I mean, that's a pretty powerful thing. And if you keep in mind that, Elon Musk also has a third business, and in addition to Tesla and SpaceX, he's also co-founder of SolarCity, which is one of the largest producers of solar power units, or, you know, home units in the country. So he's really dedicated to solar power and producing this kind of battery unit for home and business.
So what about San Antonio's workforce? Do we have the right people for the job? How technical would these jobs be? How much training would be needed?
There would be some training, and my guess is, for example, when we were talking about bringing Boeing to San Antonio late last year, there was a plan to use junior
colleges.
Yeah. There would be a lot of that.
You know. Okay. All right. Well, there's a lot to look forward to. Any timeline?
Well, yeah. They're going to be making a decision sometime in the next 3 months. They want to begin production in 2017. So they're going to have to break ground
pretty
soon.
Quick.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
All right. Greg Jefferson, San Antonio Express News business editor, thanks for coming up here and giving us an update on Tesla factory in San Antonio. We'll see if that happens. This is The Source on KSTX.